Discovery finally gets launched. The Eclipse bankruptcy attracts a third bidder. And a Florida air show will benefit the Allen Henley Foundation. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 16, 2009. The Space Shuttle Discovery finally got mission STS-119 underway yesterday evening with a relatively rare nighttime launch at 7:43 p.m. Eastern Time. The shuttle achieved orbital insertion less than 40 minutes later, starting its chase to catch the International Space Station. Trouble with three hydrogen control valves forced a delay of more than a month in the launch. The lower time used valves installed days ago have worked out well, and there was also no trouble related to last-minute repairs done after Friday's discovery of a hydrogen gas leak. It's becoming difficult to sort out all the companies calling themselves Eclipse these days. There's Eclipse Aviation Corporation, which now finds itself in Chapter 7 liquidation after a failed takeover attempt by Eclipse Jet Aviation International. Now, there are three competing bidders jostling for position on the courthouse steps, all calling themselves Eclipse. Eclipse Services and Support LLC is the name of a cooperative backed by Linear Air CEO Bill Herp, who wants the technical and support assets needed to keep the existing fleet of 259 Eclipse 500 very light jets in service. Aerospace executive Phil Friedman calls his company New Eclipse Aviation LLC. He aims to both provide support to existing owners and eventually restart production of new aircraft. And now a third group called Eclipse Jet LLC has announced it will bid. Unlike Roel Pieper's company called Eclipse Jet, this new entry is spelled with Eclipse and Jet as two separate words. It's been formed by the leaders of the Ad Hoc Customer Committee that was organized back in December to represent the interests of orphaned owners and depositors in the bankruptcy. Founder Mike Press is a retired U.S. Air Force colonel who took delivery of the fourth production Eclipse 500 and ran a private company to broker Eclipse delivery positions. His partner is position holder and 60% depositor Mason Holland. They say their company will be the only bidder with a realistic plan to restart production. Press comments, quote, "We know the only true way to reduce Eclipse 500 operating costs is to form a professionally managed aviation company that builds long-term growth relationships with vendors and suppliers, expanding the Eclipse 500 fleet to generate key economics of scale," unquote. Okay, I have a question. All these bidders are called Eclipse. Did they really think this through? An eclipse is something that can only happen when the planets align, and then it lasts only for a few minutes. Since it now appears to have been a near-perfect metaphor, why would you keep that name? I mean, just saying. This year's Cecil Field Air Show near Jacksonville, Florida, is scheduled for April 18th and 19th. A portion of the proceeds from this year's event will now benefit the Allen Henley Foundation. That's a fund which provides for Allen's treatment and the needs of his wife Jennifer and two young children, Skyler and Brandon. Henley performed with the Aeroshell aerobatic team. He suffered a paralyzing injury last year while playing with his kids when a chin-up bar gave way and he suffered neck and head injuries in the resulting fall. Allen is described as making progress, but facing an uncertain recovery. The Aeroshell community is turning out in force to support the event. In addition to the Aeroshell aerobatic team, performers will include Corky Fornoff, Dale Snodgrass, Gene Soucy and wingwalker Teresa Stokes, Greg Poe, Jim Pates, John Moore, Lee Lauterbach, and Stallion 51 Mustang, glider pilot Manfred Radius, Patty Wagstaff, Sean D. Tucker, and Steve and Suzanne Oliver, and that's about a third of the list. Tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for kids 12 and under, free for kids 6 and under. Find out more details in the text version of this story, dated Friday, March 13th, at aero-news.net. Rich Stoll, the 2006 National CFI of the Year and an active proponent of changes in the bylaws defining the governance of the National Association of Flight Instructors, announced his resignation from NAFI over the weekend. Stoll helped launch the protest group TBO NAFI, which evolved into SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, when demands for reform of NAFI were not met. In his statement, which he issued directly, Stoll says he supported NAFI as a member and contributor for nearly two decades. Now he says he's demanding a prorated refund of his annual dues. Up next on ANN, the New York Times sells its private jet. Chicago unions try to unseat Bensonville's mayor. And Southwest revisits selling in-flight meals. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 16th. I'm Paul Plack. It's not just the banks and car makers feeling the financial pinch. The recession has been especially hard on the newspaper industry, which was already shrinking before the subprime mortgage crisis kicked all this mess off. Now, the New York Times, whose pages have promoted the idea that business aviation is a symbol of corporate excess, is selling its own private Dassault Falcon 50 EX. The company made the disclosure in its annual shareholders' proxy statement filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission last week. The New York Post reports the plane was purchased by the Times in 1998 for $17 million. The asking price is reportedly $9.5 million and includes 9 cabin seats, 4 armchairs, a lounge area, and a sofa bed. A private broker told the Post that the average price for that plane in today's market is likely closer to $8 million. The Times reports its board chairman, Arthur Sulzberger Jr., used the plane for a personal trip last year at a cost of over $11,000. It also says the plane is grounded in 2009, pending a sale. The Times is still paying multi-millions to some of its executives, but it is trying to cut back elsewhere. The paper's share of the Boston Red Sox is for sale, expected to bring $140 million or more, and its Midtown Manhattan headquarters has been mortgaged to W.P. Carey & Company for $225 million. The proposed expansion of Chicago O'Hare International Airport, which has already boarded up 600 homes and threatens a historic cemetery in Bensonville, Illinois, is now turning overtly political. Bensonville Village President John Giles, who's been a leader in the fight to save his town from what he calls a $20 billion corrupt boondoggle, will face a re-election challenge from Frank Soto. The Chicago and Cook County Building and Construction Trades Council has now sent a letter to voters in DuPage County, calling on union members to support Soto's candidacy. Of his union-backed opponent, Giles says, quote, "I was born here, I was raised here, and I will die here. I will fight to protect this town with every inch of my fiber. Soto and his supporters clearly don't feel the same," unquote. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley reportedly sent union operatives into Bensonville in an unsuccessful attempt to convince voters to defeat Giles in 2005. Of the upcoming election, Giles says, quote, "For union bosses and the Daley machine to make efforts to manipulate our elections means we're doing something right, and we will continue to fight for what is right," unquote. Southwest Airlines says there's no definite plan, and it wouldn't happen anytime soon, but the airline is considering selling meals on its flights. Southwest spokesman Brad Hawkins told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram the intent would be to improve the customer experience and increase revenue. This isn't the first time the idea has been mentioned. 2 years ago, it was part of a group of proposals which included extra charges for priority boarding and assigned seating. Those didn't happen either. Southwest currently serves peanuts to passengers, but some travelers can suffer allergic reactions, even if they only inhale airborne particles of peanut dust created by a nearby passenger eating peanuts. The Transportation Security Administration is reportedly looking into an incident at Washington's D.C. Dulles International Airport last week, involving a confrontation between Louisiana Senator David Vitter and a United Airlines employee. Roll Call cites an unnamed witness in reporting that Vitter, a Republican, arrived at his gate about 20 minutes before departure and found the door already closed. When he took it upon himself to open it, a security alarm sounded. An airline employee warned Vitter to stop, and the witness says a heated exchange prompted the airline worker to summon a security guard. Vitter was reportedly gone when that guard arrived. The senator issued a statement downplaying the incident, and his spokesman said there will be no further comment. The TSA says a decision on a formal investigation is pending. Still ahead, Mexican drug gangs try using ultralights. A tour helicopter operator helps rescue a suicidal man. And if it gets attention, Ryanair will do more of it. You're listening to AeroNews.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 16th. I'm Paul Plack. Free Flight Systems announced on Friday the introduction of a new radar altimeter display, the RAD-40. It's a bright panel-mounted LED display that provides a precise readout of the aircraft's height above ground. The RAD-40 also includes a pilot-selectable decision height and five additional trip points settable from 100 to 1,000 feet, all with discrete outputs designed to control an audible tone or interface to third-party equipment. The RAD-40 is compatible with Free Flight's TSO-certified RA-4000 and 4500 radar altimeters and comes in standard or night vision goggle-compatible versions. MSRP is $2,525 U.S. when purchased with an RA-4500 or 4000 and $2,995 if purchased separately. TSO certification is imminent, with first deliveries expected by the end of the month. As the U.S. tightens security along its southern border with Mexico, drug traffickers have started using more ultralight aerial vehicles to ply their trade. The Associated Press reports officials in Arizona know of at least three attempts to fly drugs into the country. All failed, but they acknowledge that's just the ones they know about. Rick Crocker of Immigration and Customs Enforcement in Tucson commented, quote, "If the cartels feel they're successful, they'll go with it. If we can shut it down, they'll go with other means," unquote. Officials say all recent thwarted attempts have been at night, and so far all the flights have had marijuana on board. As ANN reported, a crashed ultralight discovered near San Luis, Arizona in November had over 140 pounds of marijuana on board. Another had been loaded with 200 pounds of dope, a bit much for a UL. The U.S. fought the first wave of aerial smuggling attempts in the 1980s by deploying six aerostat blimps along the border. By the mid-1990s, most attempts using larger planes had been grounded, but ultralights are cheap, have a minimal radar signature, and can be relatively simple to fly. Provided, of course, you're not trying to carry 200 pounds of weed. An aerial tour company based in Niagara Falls, Ontario, is being credited with saving the life of an apparently suicidal man who jumped into the rapids above the Horseshoe Falls last Wednesday. The pilot was the owner of Niagara Helicopters, Rudy Hafen, who said he and his team had to contend with some of the most treacherous conditions imaginable, ice, high winds, and waves, while trying to rescue a man who was resisting their efforts. Quote, "We had three good men on the helicopter, and you strive for making this a success. The shore is 200 feet away, and everyone on shore is ready for the guy. He was already in the water for 30 minutes, and he was getting weaker," unquote. After the man eluded attempts to grab him with a sling, Hafen flew the helicopter at a bank angle, which created a wave that swept the man closer to shore, making it easier for rescuers on the ground to reach out to him. The man is now recovering in a hospital. The Niagara Fire Department is calling Hafen an angel. And finally, if you were wondering whether the recent talk of installing pay toilets on Ryanair flights was a publicity stunt, we're here to dispel any doubt. Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary has invited passengers to submit their most ingenious, wacky, and creative revenue enhancement ideas to Ryanair online for a chance of winning a cash prize of €1,000. Ryanair's Stephen McNamara explains that the pay toilet story has elicited a huge number of ancillary revenue suggestions from passengers, but the company wants even more. He says the best ideas so far include fees for toilet paper with O'Leary's face printed on it, fees for reading safety cards, for using oxygen masks, or for using the emergency exits. One suggested charging an extra 50 euro to fly with a bikini-clad cabin crew. I'm guessing that one was submitted by someone who doesn't fly often. Be careful what you wish for. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller revisits his sometimes controversial views on flight and icing conditions. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.